Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. As you know, I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Thursday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska. From the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. And as many of you know, we will also have special guests to discuss different aspects of frontier life. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment. Or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. What do you want to do first? You want to have a contest where you can win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining, your precious metals people, located right here in Fairbanks, Alaska at 208 Wendell Street. Want a little information from those folks over at Oxford? Their phone number is 456-3967. So give them a call if you have questions about silver, gold, and platinum. And on the contest today, here's what I need to know real quick. Who is located at 452-8141. I want to know who they are, where they are, and what they do. And if you can give me a full description of all that, you will win 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. As soon as you have that information available, give me a call here at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And let's see what happens right now. Hi, you're on the air.
No.
You're there.
Okay, the reason I called is I just found 2 black Cocker Spaniel puppies.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I know someone's missing them, and if you could get the message out for me and anybody out there listening, it might know if somebody has lost their 2 black Cocker Spaniel puppies.
Well, I think you've just sent the message out.
Okay.
So anyone out there, you have a phone number?
Yeah, it's 479-0975.
479-0975.
Okay,
2 black Cocker Spaniel puppies.
Yes, very friendly.
Very friendly.
And I've got them locked up in my yard.
Looking for the master.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye. Hi, you're on the air. Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
You were asking who was at that telephone number?
What was that telephone number?
You think I got me, but is it Gabe's Truck and Auto?
Nope.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, the question is, who's located at 452-8141? The prize is a 1 ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. And once you have that information, give me a call at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And while we're waiting for the calls, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my friends over at Tip Top Chevrolet Buick, located at 1916 South Cushman Street, right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I would also like for you to know that Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years, and I think we've had a lot of talk about Bobby Ginther, and now Robbie Ginther is the general manager. We also want to let you know that there's a couple of other major players over there at Tip Top Chevrolet. One of is Jim Brown, who is a sales manager, and the used car manager is Elmer Ostblom. You might want to get to know that chap as well. And Randy Meadows is a service manager. These people have all had a long time of service with Tip Top Chevrolet. And one other fellow is Randy Mayhew, who's in charge of the body shop. So they've got a lot of experience. They know how to handle your problems, take care of your car. You need to buy a new car, stop over there and talk to the folks at Tip Top Chevrolet. I also like to do this little ad that Robbie Ginther sometimes puts on television. He says, and this is what he said, I'm quoting him almost word for word, you've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history. And it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape with a new rear wheel anti-lock brake system and Instatrac shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup, it's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over and take a look, and don't forget, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, located at 1916 South Cushman. When you go over there, you tell the folks that Jim Madonna's been talking about them. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Macaulay's River Graphics Incorporated.
That's right. That's who they are. Now, where are they?
721 Gaffney.
721 Gaffney. Where'd you get this information?
From the phone book.
From the phone book? What else did you find out in the phone book?
not a whole lot.
Well, did you find out that you got to tell me what they do?
Well, I suppose the reprograph is now
the reprographs, right? Reprographs? Well,
that's,
I see.
I didn't expect you to answer the phone that quick.
I see. Do you want to give it a shot, or do you want me to help you out?
Well, I suppose that they do copying and whatever.
You bet. And they have a complete engineering and architectural supplies. Are you writing this down, I hope? This will be on your midterm examination.
Okay.
They
actually, kind of took me by surprise. I'm sorry.
Well, I did. You called me. I know, but
did
you call me or did I call you?
The phone that fast.
Oh, I see. let's see. We better get. They have architectural supplies. They rent surveying equipment and supplies. Cameras. What else do they do? Oh, you know, one thing I always like to talk about is their hip chains, because I'm a geologist and sometimes involved in the mining industry. I like to measure out claim lines, and they have these hip chains with thread in them that as you put it on your belt, and as you walk, it measures out the distance so you can accurately measure the length of your line. And a thread moves out of this hip chain, and you tie one end of the thread to a post, and then you walk across the tundra or whatever you're walking across to the distance that you'd like to measure off, and the hip chain measures it off automatically on a veneer inside the hip chain as the thread passes a wheel. And so that is a real important item to people who are marking out claim lines and measuring distances in the wilderness areas. In addition to that, they have compasses, they have all the drafting equipment necessary, the pens, the pencils, the templates, and everything necessary to create maps and do field work. So that's Macaulay's Reprographics. And tell me, have you written all this down, have you?
Sure. You want me to repeat it all?
No. I don't want you to repeat it. I want you to remember it, because we may do this again sometime, and I want you to be prepared, okay? And I also want all the rest of the listening audience to be prepared just in case we ask the same question. So that's Macaulay's Reprographics. They're located, where are they located again?
721
Gaffney. That's good. And what's their phone number?
It's 452-8141.
Oh, you give a great ad. So why don't you give me your name, and we'll put it down here on this certificate.
Okay, this is Blanche Williams.
Blanche, tell you what you do, Blanche. You come up here to the KFAR studio located in Washington Plaza. Pick up this certificate. Take it over to Oxford Assaying and Refining at 208 Wendell Street. And they will present you with a 1 troy ounce silver ingot. And your last name again, Blanche?
Williams.
Okay, Blanche, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And this afternoon, we have a guest, Juanita Helms. Juanita, welcome to Alaska Gold Trails.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for inviting me.
Oh, I've been looking forward to it, Juanita. And I'd like to tell the listening audience right off that I won't be accepting phone calls until about 10 minutes before the program is over, and I'll let you know when we're about ready to accept them. Juanita, could you give us a little information regarding where you were born and maybe generalize the year somewhere, plus or minus 3 or 4?
Certainly. I was born in Chicago, Illinois, and it was around 48 years ago.
Around?
Around.
Oh, that's good.
Is that close enough?
That's fine, sure.
And we only lived there 3 years, then we moved to Michigan. And when I was 9, we came to Alaska.
Where in Michigan did you live?
We lived on a little island outside of Detroit called Gros Isle on the Detroit River.
Was it in the middle of the river?
Right in the middle of the river.
I see. And how many people were there? Was it a town?
It was more,
sorry,
more a residential area, not technically a town. It was like a bedroom community to Detroit and Wyandotte and Trenton, the big towns across the river.
And then, how long did you live there?
We lived there about 6 years and then moved to Alaska.
Where did you go to first in Alaska, Juanita?
We came to Elmendorf. My father had seen an ad in the National Geographic.
Mm-hmm. Near
saying
Anchorage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that they needed engineers in Alaska, and he answered an ad and came up to Alaska in 1950 to Elmendorf Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just outside Anchorage.
As an engineer, what did he do there?
He worked for the Corps of Engineers.
I see. And what kind of activities did you participate in there?
Mainly, since I was pretty young, the things I was interested in were the more athletic kinds of things. The buildings had ice rinks in between each building, so we did a lot of ice skating. That was in the wintertime. And there were square dances that we went to every Friday night. School consumed quite a bit of our time. And during the summer, Dad would take the whole family, and we'd go on weekends, and we'd travel all over the state during the weekend.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Right.
Yeah, and you got to visit quite a bit of the roadways then around the state.
Yes.
What did you do after you left Elmendorf? You were there a year and a half.
We were there a year and a half.
And where did you go from there?
Then my father got the concession to manage Mount McKinley National Park Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the old hotel was still standing, a very charming building. And the road was not opened up between Fairbanks and the hotel. You still had to get there by way of either the railroad or by small plane. And for a year and a half, we lived there. And as I understand it, it's the only winter that hotel had ever been opened to the public.
Tell me about some of the things that you remember most about Mount McKinley and the park.
Well, that was one of probably the best year and a half of my life. We did a lot of outdoor things. Dad had built an ice rink because we liked ice skating. We had a toboggan hill. There were two ski runs that he put in, one with a rope tow so we could go up the mountain behind the hotel. In the summer, we did a lot of traveling out into the park. At that time, Celia Hunter and Jenny Wood ran Denali, Camp Denali, on the other side of the park, right across from Wonder Lake. And we used to go out there, and we knew a miner in Kantishna that we used to visit. So there were a lot of, the time was always occupied with something.
Mm-hmm. Did you see quite a lot of wildlife there? You maybe explain some of the wildlife that you saw in the park and how easy it was to see them to our listeners.
Oh, it was beautiful in the park. The animals seemed to sense that they were safe in the park, so they didn't run and hide unless you got too close to them. So you got a good view of animals. We were out in the park one time, and my brother and I were walking up a small hill. And at that time, we didn't know it, but a bear was coming up the other side. And we all met at the top. Well, the bear ran down one side, and my brother ran down the other, and I stood up there screaming and waving my arms. And my father was a little upset because we'd scared the bear away, and he wasn't able to get a good picture of him. But
that was tough, right?
Yeah, right.
I bet you cared a whole lot about that.
Right. I was glad he took off. Yeah.
What else do you remember about what about the dump?
Well, just outside the park in the hotel area was where they had the dump, and that was really the only place that you had to be careful of the animals. The bears would attack if you came near the dump. So you were real cautious going around there if you went around there, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. But the bears would come up to the hotel around the kitchen area because there was always the smell of food. They'd sometimes raid the garbage cans or something like that, but I don't remember anybody ever being hurt inside the park mm-hmm. by an animal.
I recall, speaking of the beauty of the park, when I was a graduate student at the university, I was fortunate enough to participate as the field assistant in the mapping program there, and we had the opportunity to map the Polychrome Path area, which was, of course, one of the more colorful areas within the park in terms of variable shades of maroon and brown and so forth.
Beautiful country.
And it was an interesting area, and we got well acquainted with the park in that respect and the wildlife. I did have the thrill of running into a sow and two cubs one day that was left me... the memory will stay with me for quite some time. At any rate, the park was beautiful. In another respect, too, the caribou sometimes running right in the valley adjacent to Polychrome Pass, we saw the caribou running along, and they were majestic. You know, they
right.
were, and they were running, and I'll never forget the picture that they made. There were two caribou with great racks upon them, and they were running across that tundra-type environment, and it was quite a picturesque thing to see.
That is beautiful country. Yeah, I believe that's where they migrated when they migrated with through Polychrome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful opportunity for people if they get a chance to go down there and visit.
Sure.
It's not the same, but in some ways, and in some ways it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes I think that maybe Alaskans don't take advantage of those things. They say, well, the park is here and we'll see it someday, but they don't realize that it's really a wonder and it's breathtaking.
It is. Mm-hmm. And that mountain, I went out in the park, stayed at Camp Denali one night, and the window was just above the bed. I woke about 3 a.m. and looked out the window, and there was that beautiful mountain, bright pink,
mm-hmm.
and then reflected in Wonder Lake,
mm-hmm.
a double, and that is breathtaking.
You know, they had a picture like that on one of the calendars that I saw, the reflection of Mount McKinley and Wonder Lake.
Right.
And you know that I, of course, have met a lot of tourists who have waited weeks up there in McKinley and never gotten a picture of Mount McKinley because it's always been veiled in clouds one way or the other, so
yeah.
It prevented a good shot. And I remember when I was up there mapping, we went over to the observation place, and one of the park rangers, I was talking to him, and he said, you know, that a lot of people come up here and they just get back here for just an hour or so that they stay back here, and they say they'll take a picture out the window and say, well, that's where McKinley's supposed to be, you know, because they don't have a chance to see it. That was interesting to me. Anyway, Juanita, let's take a little break here. We'll talk about a few other little items, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, we got living on our mind.
Summertime fun.
Picnics in the sun.
Barbecues.
And popsicles, too.
Good time.
Good food.
Good friends.
Fred Meyer.
Sunshine.
Swim time.
Sad toy.
Beach boy.
Catching waves.
Ooh, catching Z's.
Catch a fish.
What a catch.
Fred Meyer.
We're having good times, living easy in the summer, city fine.
Summer nights.
Oh, skeeter bites.
Mountain hikes.
Flying kites.
Water fights.
Riding bikes.
Suntans.
Sunsets.
Sunrises.
Fred Meyer.
Boat docks.
Boardwalks.
Ocean's breeze.
Sandy feet.
Flopping thongs.
And sing-along.
Summer's things.
You'll find it at Freddy's.
We're always happy. Lots of living, yeah, that's our philosophy.
Oh, I've got something that I know you're waiting to hear. It's about Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank. I want you to know that our friends, Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank, has been serving the people and businesses of Fairbanks since 1965. And there's something interesting about that, too. Being a mutual bank, Mount McKinley has no stockholders. Rather, it's managed by a board of trustees for the benefit of the depositors. Consequently, Mount McKinley has been a community leader in paying high interest rates to their depositors since 1965. There's some other interesting aspects about Mount McKinley that I'd like for you to know. One of them is this business about building your dream home. If you can't find the structure that and home that might just be perfect for you and your future, Mount McKinley can make your dream home happen. They are providing construction loans right now for people who have a special home in mind that isn't reproduced by any other dwelling in the Fairbanks area. So if you need a loan to build that dream home, stop over at Mount McKinley Bank and you tell Connie over there, who is the assistant vice president, that Jim Madonna told you about it. Keep in mind now, that's Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank. They have entrances on 3rd and 4th Avenue, and they're located downtown at 530 4th Avenue. Phone number 452-1751. Once again, their phone number is 452-1751. You know, I've got a number of sponsors who take particular pride in sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails. Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank is one of those sponsors. Another one is B&L Pawn Shop. And I'd like to tell you just a little bit about B&L Pawn Shop. That's who they are. You want to know where they're located, of course. That's 605 Gaffney. That's the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Their phone number is 452-3063, or another number that you might want to use is 452-6491. They do a variety of things, provide a variety of services. First of all, they make dynamite deals, and if you need a grub stake, they take goods on consignment. And if they don't sell it, you don't pay any commission, of course. They loan, they buy, they sell, they trade, and they deal. Cameras, stereos, gold, TV, video, jewelry, tools, guitars, guns, and car stereos. If you need a loan, bring anything over that you think is of value, and B&L Pawn will help you through to better times. That's B&L Pawn. They're located at 605 Gaffney, corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Phone number 452-3063. And hey, tell Killer that I sent you over, and she'll sweeten the deal. You know that. B&L Pawn, 605 Gaffney. We're here with Juanita Helms, and we're talking about how she came into the country and the many activities that she participated in, where she lived, what she did as she grew up in Alaska. Juanita, we were talking just briefly about your activity in your year and a half at Mount McKinley Park.
Mm-hmm.
And following that period, did you have anything else to add to that? Any other activity at Mount McKinley that you might...
No, that was the first time I'd ever ridden in a small plane. The only way we got to Fairbanks, unless you wanted to take the train, was by plane. And Bob Rice and Holly Evans used to fly between Fairbanks and Mount McKinley. And that was exciting because they always were willing to show you the view that was on the ground by dipping the plane and showing it to you. So it was exciting to me.
When, what year was it then that you came to Fairbanks?
Let's see, I must have been about 12 years old by the time we got to Fairbanks. We actually moved to North Pole.
North Pole.
Right. I finished up grade school there, and then when I got into high school, came into Fairbanks.
What school did you attend?
We started out in Maine my freshman year and moved into Lathrop. That was the year Lathrop opened up. It was that fall. I remember all of the students walking from Maine carrying a load of library books and moving the library over to Lathrop.
You actually participated in the move then.
Yes, right.
I bet you were really proud of that school when you moved into it.
Oh, we were. It was a brand new school. It was our school. And we took good care of it.
Uh-huh.
We were very proud.
Well, it is a beautiful school. I remember when I was a young lad here in Fairbanks, of course, everything was at Maine. and it was interesting to have everybody, you know, concentrated into the one school. And I remember also that we were going to half-day sessions at that time. So
double shifting?
Yeah. And so some of us would go to school in the morning and some in the afternoon. And that was interesting. so I think that was very close to the move. It was, what, 19... can't remember.
54 when, would have been the move.
Was it? Right. Okay, it was 50, 52, I think, 51, 52. At any rate, tell us what kind of activities you participated in the school. Did you graduate with all... No, never mind. I don't want to ask that.
I graduated.
You graduated. Well, that was 1959.
Right.
I saw you
30
on the,
years ago.
I saw you on the float in the parade.
Yes.
Yes. Lathrop High School, 1959. What did you do at Lathrop High School besides get good grades, Juanita?
I didn't do a lot of extracurricular. We had a lot of interest in basketball, and I watched the games a lot. We used to have the games. We had to compete with Anchorage when we wanted to compete with anybody, and so everybody was real enthusiastic about that. There used to be a talent show called Arctic Capers that was put on once a year, and I participated in that myself and a friend of mine, Nelda Larson, and we did the hula.
Is this an Alaskan version, or was it? What? You did the hula. That's
it was right. We had Liberty Helenihi was our hula teacher. I don't know how many people remember. Well, Lib's still around.
Well, you actually got professional help then.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, you probably really did it well, huh?
At that time, yes.
And other than participating in that entertainment field, you ever done any other kind of entertainment in your life?
No, unless you count being on the assembly and being entertained.
Yeah, I guess.
No, I'm.
I wouldn't have said that, but okay.
No, I was always very bashful, very shy. So,
have you found that you're not bashful anymore?
No, I've just found that I can control it.
Is that right?
Better than I used to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Following high school, where did you go? What did you do? What kind of work did you do in the summertime while you were in high school?
Oh, well, in high school, I used to work for Bill's Drive-In. Bill Sexton that had the drive-in on College Road.
Uh-huh.
At that time, it was right across from Miller and Bentley Salvage Yard.
Uh-huh. I remember it well.
Right.
Uh-huh. Kind of a little bent building. That kind of the glasses are all kind of hung over at an angle.
Yeah, it used to be an A&W.
A&W.
And then it was Bill's Drive-In. And it was a good job to have.
Were you a car hop?
I was a car hop, right.
A car
and
hop.
Then, of course, anybody that worked there filled in any job that had to be done. So it was good experience.
It was. You mean you came out with a little tray and you hung it on the window? And
Yeah.
And
usually. Sometimes it would tip.
What year? What? Did you ever have any disasters?
Yes. I remember one especially. A big truck came in and I had to take the tray overhead to get it on their window. And he helped and had a chocolate milkshake and several other things. And it all landed on me.
I have visions of that one. Yeah, it did, huh? Embarrassing moment.
Oh, it was. And
is that
very
right?
Sticky.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to ask any more questions about that moment. How long did you work for Bill's Drive-In?
I worked 2 summers.
2 summers.
Right.
And what did you do following high school?
Well, working for Bill, then 3 of my friends and I went to Hawaii after we graduated from high school, took a plane to Seattle, a train to San Francisco, and then a boat over to Hawaii, and stayed there about 5 weeks. So that was a big adventure for us. And then I went to work for an insurance company, got married, and went to work for Superior Court, and worked there for 4 years. And have gone on to various jobs, and here I am.
along the road through all these jobs, you said you got married.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So expand on the romance of how you met your husband, and a lot of people like to know about the romance part of lives. tell us, Juanita, how did you meet your husband?
Well, my husband and I my husband is Sam Helm, met, I'm not sure exactly where we met. I do remember that when I worked for Bill's Drive-In, Sam used to come in there, and he and Bill Sexton used to enjoy embarrassing me, so they'd get together and did a real good job of it.
They must have really enjoyed it when that milkshake hit you.
Yes. And Sam and I knew each other for several years, and we were friends, and when I needed anything or needed someone to depend on, Sam was the one I would think of because he was an honest person and you could trust him and a nice guy. I don't know where along the line we all of a sudden discovered that it was more than just friendship. I do remember the time that Sam gave me my engagement ring. We were in the co-op, and he slipped it to me under the counter rather than formally presenting it to me.
Oh, you mean he didn't get down on his knee and go through all that?
No. I wanted him to, but he wouldn't do
in
that.
In co-op? You know, that sounds like the place where a person would make a proposal, though, the co-op
right.
Drugstore.
At that time, the co-op was where everyone met everybody.
Yeah, and he slipped it to you under the counter.
Yeah.
Oh, what a way to present the engagement ring.
Right, but I took it.
You took it, huh?
Yeah.
And what did he say just as he presented this to you?
Actually, he didn't say anything. He blushed a little, but didn't say anything.
He didn't say, what did you say?
I said, what is this?
You didn't know what an engagement ring
was? Oh, I knew what it was. I wanted him to say.
Did you know it was on its way?
Yes, I was pretty sure.
You were pretty sure, but you didn't know it was going to happen in the co-op.
No, I didn't expect it to happen in the co-op.
Now, this will go down in history, you know. I hope Sam's listening. Look, so you accepted. How did you accept? You say, okay, Sam, I'll do it?
It was more like I accepted by accepting the ring and...
Did it fit?
And wearing it. Yes, it did.
Yeah. And then tell us what happened. How long was the courtship following the engagement?
We got married probably about 6 months later.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you already knew him real well.
Oh, yes. I knew Sam very well.
And so you got married 6 months later. What year was that?
1962.
1962. Almost. You've been married a while.
Yes.
Yeah, and what does Sam do?
Sam, at that time and for 32 years, was an active member of the Laborers Union, Local 942 here. And when he retired from the Laborers Union, he went into contracting for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Sold his share of the company last year and is now retired. He takes care of the rental units that we have and is generally retired right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me take care of a couple of these sponsors, and then we'll be right back, Juanita.
Okay.
Folks, we have over $9 million worth of cars and trucks. We're flat overstocked. Now, the only way I know how to solve this problem, pretend like it's October and start our year-end clearance sale now. Now, we have hundreds of cars and trucks to choose from. Don't pay any attention to the sticker price. Just make us an offer. We will meet or beat any legitimate deal you can get from anybody, any place. Now, you can save thousands of dollars, but you've got to do it right now.
Hunting season's approaching, so it's time for a new Honda 4-Track from Fairbanks Motors. Choose the Honda TRX 300 with front and rear axle, or the ultimate of four-wheel drive ATVs, the Honda Foreman. Get your new Honda 4-Track now. Take a rider's training course, and remember, Honda ATVs are recommended for riders 16 years of age and older. Honda 4-Tracks, only at Fairbanks Motors, 3775 South Cushman. Come ride with us.
You know, folks, I like Gabe's Truck and Auto for lots of reasons. First of all, I should point out that Gabe's Truck and Auto has been taking care of my vehicles for 5 years or more, and long before Alaska Gold Trails was ever initiated. Secondly, when they learned that Alaska Gold Trails was coming on the air, they were more than happy to sponsor it because they felt very proud of the style of the show that was being presented. Just a little bit about Gabe's Truck and Auto. You know that the owner is Gabe and Kathy, and they point out that whether it's an auto, a light truck, a motorhome, or a big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And that's, by the way, not just my opinion, folks. A couple of years ago, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and 8 mechanics on hand to serve you, and you know with that much attention, you'll get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. Now listen to this. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mountain balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's Truck and Auto is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, oh, I like this one. You know, as far as I know, Gabe's Truck and Auto are the people who initiated the no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right, folks. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's Truck and Auto. And you also want to know that they have excellent towing service. Gabe's has 3 wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. By the way, I write that number down, put it in my glove box in case of an emergency, and once again, the number is 456-6156. Do it. Someday you'll need it and you'll thank me for it. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field. Or give them a call at 456-6156. You can tell them I've been talking about them. That's okay. They won't be mad. Juanita, we're back.
Greetings.
We're talking, what were we talking? We're talking about the love affair. And we finally got married.
Right.
Tell us what happened after getting married.
Well, we, besides having 4 children, we, over the years, accumulated several smaller houses that we used as rental units. And up until my 4th child, I worked and then retired for a while when I had the 4th child and actually became a full-time parent, which was a totally different experience.
I want to tell the listening audience just one little note that they... as I pointed out earlier in the program, we'll begin taking calls in about 4 minutes. So if they'd like to hold their calls until about 10 minutes to 2, we'd appreciate it, and we'll get with you. Juanita, a full-time parent, you like that?
I enjoyed it. It took a little getting used to, because when you've got children and you work full-time, you forget that sometimes sitting down on the front step with your child and staring at nothing and just being a companion is part of the job of being a parent. And not, it took me a while to get to the point where I didn't feel like I constantly had to be doing something.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me about your children. You have 4 children.
4 children.
Ages?
27, 24, 22, 20.
These aren't children. These are full-grown adults.
That's right. That's right.
Yes,
and I
indeed.
Haven't got one of them at home right now.
How many boys and girls?
1 boy and 3 girls.
Oh, my goodness. That poor guy.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, it happened, didn't it?
He survived it.
He did it, did he? It's so
it
wonder.
Was tough.
I can believe that. Yes. Tell us, how old is the boy?
He's 22.
22, right in the middle there, kind of.
Yes, one of the 2 middle children.
One of the 2 middle children. And do they live in Fairbanks?
Yes. Actually, I've got 1 daughter that just left that's going to be living in Idaho to complete her med tech education for a couple of years. And my other daughter went with her to go to school for 1 semester.
Uh-huh.
And my 2 grandkids, of course, went with her.
I see. Oh, it's quite a family.
Yeah.
How old are your grandchildren?
3 and 7 months.
And what are they?
A girl and a boy.
Oh, you got them divided.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. You know, in a minute, I'm going to open up the phone lines. We've had a couple of calls here. And I want to, again, to let the people know that they're welcome to call it in about 2 minutes. But... in between that, I'd like to start a little bit on Bud. You know, I asked you a little bit earlier, you know, I know Bud, or I knew Bud,
mm-hmm.
and
he's your father. I should explain that to the listening audience.
Right.
And where did Bud go after McKinley? Yeah, I know he went to North Pole, apparently.
Right.
And what did he do
Dad
there?
Went to work at Eielson, and eventually, after several years of working at Eielson, became the chief engineer, civil engineer, mm-hmm. at Eielson. We also, during that time, my mother had a couple of restaurants, one in North Pole, one at 16 Mile.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how long was he there? How long did your family live in North Pole?
Well, Mom and Dad lived there until they bought Sourdough Roadhouse in, I think that was about 1967, just about 19? Blood time.
Yeah, just about the right time to move.
Right.
On. Look, we got a call, Juanita.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Look, could you speak?
What's your maiden name, Juanita?
Lawson.
Lawson?
Right.
Okay. I was just wondering. I've lived up here so many years, but I never did know your maiden name.
Oh, yes. It's spelled Lausen. So it's the Scandinavian Lawson.
Oh, yes. I was trying to think. I knew somebody that was it connected with a restaurant.
Yes.
My husband was the business agent for the culinary.
Oh.
Here in Fairbanks for 11 years.
Uh huh.
And of course, that name Lawson rings a bell. That's all I want to know.
Okay.
Keep up the good work, Juanita.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
That was a nice call,
yeah,
Juanita.
Very nice.
Tell us about the restaurant.
Oh, the restaurant. Well, my mother had one restaurant in North Pole and then one at 16 Mile. The one at 16 Mile, she was running for Jack Parks. I don't know how many people remember Jack. He was a partner, I believe, with Pete that had the junkyard at 6 Mile.
Yeah, I know Pete.
He and Jack were partners for many years. And Jack had Mom run his restaurant for him. It was an interesting time, and Jack was an interesting person.
Do you know the name of that?
16 Mile Cafe was what it was called.
Okay. Let's see what happens here. I don't know about these flashing lights.
Hello?
I'll try it this way. Somebody on the air?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes. What a delightful show. Hello, Mrs. Helm.
Hello.
This is one of your fans.
Well, that's nice.
believe it or not, I'm ashamed to say it. This is the one time that you kept my attention.
That's okay.
I really have enjoyed it. And
oh,
don't
you.
Forget, you've given out the kids. Now next in line is that worried little dog.
Oh, that's right.
We got to mention that fella.
That's right. I forgot a member of the family.
This is a great show, and I've enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Juanita, I want to say a little something about one of my great sponsors, and that's Oxford Assaying and Refining. We'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Oxford Assaying and Refining. What can I say about them that hasn't been said 1,000 times already? Where do the miners sell their gold? Well, you know they sell it at Oxford Assaying and Refining, and you know that these people are the precious metals people. And they're located at 208 Wendell Street. And by the way, I've heard that some of my friends have written letters from in the more remote areas saying that they'll never forget Oxford's address because of the mistake I made here on the air with Steve Agbaba calling it 802. So don't you ever forget that mistake. I wouldn't want to ever be able to live it down. So Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. And I'd like to point out just a couple of things right off the top of my head as I think about them. Some of the investments that I have made and other and my friends have made at Oxford. First of all, they are the silver ingots. And you know about the silver ingots, the one troy ounce silver ingots that Oxford provides for this radio show every week. And you win them. You can also buy silver ingots at Oxford Assaying and Refining as investment ingots or as gifts. They make excellent gifts. I've given these ingots to friends, especially in the lower states and in other areas where I've traveled, Canada and Australia, and they were received with a great deal of excitement. So
Of course, these silver ingots are very important as gift items. Also, investment items are silver, gold, both in ingots, coins, and perhaps larger bars. So, if you need a gift or you want to invest in precious metals, it's Oxford Assaying and Refining. Where are they located? You tell me. I think you know. It's 208 Wendell Street. Their phone number is 456-3967 if you need information. But I also want to advise you about their special quote line. That's 452-7858 if you want the prices immediately on gold, silver, and platinum. Give them a call at 452-7858 and you'll get the daily quote on these precious metals so you can see where your investment is going. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining, your precious metals people, located right here in Fairbanks, Alaska at 208 Wendell Street, phone number 456-3967. Tell them I've been talking about them. I'm here this afternoon with Juanita Helms. And we got a couple of minutes left here. If you've got a call, give us a call. Number is 479-8255. Juanita, we're back, and we got a call for you.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Ask her if she knows the name of the miner that she knew in the Kantishna when she was in the park as a child.
Yes, that was Johnny Boucher.
Yeah, that's who I thought.
Ah.
There wasn't another miner in there at that time, was there?
Not anybody that I remember us visiting.
Oh.
I think Johnny was the last of them at that time.
No, yeah, my dad went in there, but I couldn't remember just what year he went in.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I was just curious.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
Uh-huh.
And we were there with Mom. She was running the restaurant, 16 miles.
Right, right.
And, again, when did Bud move down to Sourdough?
Sourdough was 1967. Actually, Dad was still working at Eielson for several years after that. My mother and my older brother, Raymond, ran the lodge, and then Dad would drive down every weekend and work during the weekend and come back.
As I understood it, from many of the people that I talked to along the roadway, the lodge got quite a reputation for having excellent pies.
Yes.
I remember, I used to teach in Glen Ellen and Valdez, and I would make weekly trips back and forth to these places as an extension instructor out of the University of Alaska. I'd teach the mining programs there,
mm-hmm.
and I'd teach them a month at each town. And so I'd make four or five trips or up to eight trips a year through there, and I'd always stop there with Bud, and we'd chat about rocks and mining and whatever else he wanted to talk about. And he had, of course, a big lapidary and rock shop there that he worked on a lot of slabbing material and polishing material and so forth. And of course, we had a lot in common with that respect. And I'll never forget the time that I'd been running back and forth there for a couple of years, you know. And one day I was sitting in there having a piece of pie and a cup of coffee with him, and he said, "You know, Jim," he says, "we sell gas here too." So from then on, I tried to gauge myself so that I'd be sure and fill up with gas at Bud's Sourdough Lodge.
Quite a salesman.
Yeah, quite a salesman. Yeah, that's all he had to say to me, and I made it a point. It just didn't dawn on me that I should be stopping there for gas. It was always the pie and coffee.
Oh, that's great.
Juanita, he moved down there, and he stayed there right up until the time he died, didn't he?
Right. He had sold the lodge a couple of years before he died. He just died last October.
Mm-hmm.
But he still had his rocks and relics shop, and he was still, as he called it, the chief relic.
The chief relic.
Right.
Juanita, you've had an interesting life here, and I hope that someday that we could get together again, maybe recap some of the same thoughts that we've had here, and perhaps talk in detail about Bud and his activities in Alaska.
I'd like that.
And is there, you know, when were you voted mayor of the borough?
1985.
You became the North Star Borough Mayor.
Right.
And you ran again, and you were successful.
Last year. Second time. Right.
And are you pretty well satisfied with the way things are going there?
Well, I think it's like any big company. Things could go better in some areas, and in some ways, I think we're doing very good.
Mm-hmm. You always have an open door policy, don't you?
Right, right.
Okay, kid. Juanita, thank you very much for sharing this time with me
today.
Thank
you, Jim.
want to thank Juanita Helms for sharing this time with us today. I also want to thank the listening audience for joining us here on Alaska Gold Trails. You're listening to KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial in Fairbanks, Alaska.
From ABC News, I'm Bob Walker. There has been a delay, an indefinite delay, in the execution of American hostage Joseph Scipio. That's what his pro-Iranian kidnappers say. ABC's chief European correspondent Pierre Salinger said that delay must be the work of Iran's new president, Hashimi Rafsanjani, who told Hezbollah leaders in Damascus last night not to kill Scipio for now. That means diplomacy is working, at least for now, and that pleases Scipio's brother, Thomas.
No military action, definitely.